Hey everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And today on the Startup Chat, we may or may not tell you to create an ideal customer profile or not to create an ideal customer profile.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet. But either way, we are going to talk about the concept of an ICP, ideal customer profile. It's a very popular idea. And it's one of those surprising topics that sometimes, you know, I can't believe that we haven't talked about something in almost 400 episodes, but we have not talked about this very specific topic. So I thought it would be fun to tackle this. Well, Heaton, maybe first we explain to people what the concept is, like what is an ideal customer profile, why do companies do it, and then we might want to talk about why it's overused or misused and how we really feel about this topic in 2019.
Yeah, why don't you start? Why don't you define it, at least in the classic sense?
Yeah.
I think that'll help.
Yeah, so I think the broad idea is not that complicated, right? The broad idea is to ask yourself as a company, you know, there might be many, many different types of people or organizations that decided to purchase your software, but not all of them are created equal. And I think the idea with an ideal customer profile is to identify what type of customer, what segment of the market can get the most value out of our software. Who is the most ideal customer that exists out there, right? And what do they have in common? And the goal of defining and writing down an ideal customer profile is to help you do better marketing, do better segmentation, do better product development, because you're not taking on a broad group of people in terms of the feedback they give you or a broad group of potential customers in terms of what channels would be most effective in terms of acquiring them. But you segment it down and you focus yourself and the entire company and team on the best quote-unquote customer, the ideal quote-unquote customer. You define it, you write it down so everybody in the company and the team understands it, and then you go after those customers above all others. Does that make sense? Is that a definition you would agree with?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know who your customer is, you won't know what to build. You won't really know what to do even. You won't know how to sell, you won't know how to market, you won't know how to do any of that. So this idea of an ideal customer profile is super, super valuable, super useful. I think where people get confused is that, do I have to pick one?
Mm.
Right? And so my thought is, no, you don't have to pick one. Some products, like many of the ones I work on, are either focused on many different types of customers, or they're focused on basically like they're a free product. And so anyone literally can use it as long as they fall under certain criteria. That being said, when you're early on in a product, you know, you're looking for what everyone calls the early adopter. And so I look at this concept as a more malleable concept than other people do. There's also a lot of people out there that like think through from a design and product standpoint, they think about personas, right? And
yeah,
there's rallying against personas, and then other people who are like excited about personas, and there's a debate. But like, to me, you know, the ICP, ideal customer profile concept, actually, you know, comes from a classic like sales methodology, right, in general. And that's fine. That's cool. To me, it's like what you're really trying to do is when you see a customer or see a prospect, you're trying to identify how do you serve them and how do you speak to them and how do you show them the value of your product, whether it's in the product because it's self-service or something like that, or a free trial they can sign up for, or it's a more like, you know, give them a demo and there's a whole sales process to the product. Either way, you're trying to deliver whatever value they need to them. And without understanding them deeply, I don't think you can do that. And so to me, the concept is just that simple, which is if you don't understand them, then you won't be able to deliver value to them at a high enough rate that enough of them are coming to you and converting. So yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's like, to me, 101, like these are the basics. Like, you need to know your customer. You need to have a deep understanding. You need to define who they are. You know, if it's relevant to you, the demographics, if it's relevant to you, their behavior, if it's relevant to you, the other tools they use, or whatever it is that helps you understand them so well that when they come in, you are able to either fill it out or already know about them because they're signing up with a company email or something like that. And then you can start really servicing them in a way that they feel like this product or this service that you're providing is for them.
Yeah, I love that. I think that I've seen a few interesting trends when companies and teams misuse the whole concept. And sometimes a funny thing, so sometimes they go overboard, right? Where the exercise becomes more important than the goal of the exercise. And so they pour so much creativity in the persona that, you know, they make sketches and they put together a board of like, this is Mary Johnson. And, you know, she lives in exactly this street in this city. And this is what she eats for breakfast. And they go really, really crazy, which can be fun. But at times, I wonder, what is the utility of this? And is this, how accurate is this? Is really everybody that's your customer eating the same breakfast and living in this one specific, you know, neighborhood in this city? Or is this just like, is this just somebody going wild with an idea and not really staying practical with it? And then the other thing is that sometimes when companies create an ideal customer profile, it's not its purpose for you to ignore everybody that doesn't 100% fit that. But sometimes the practical application of it is that, and that's surprising. So a company will define an ideal customer profile for the very first time. And then instead of using this as a way to clarify who we want to double down on, individuals and team members in that company will use the ideal customer profile as an excuse to ignore customers that don't perfectly fit into that profile, right? Or dismiss them.
Yeah.
Or not pay attention to them. Well, you know, we said a customer with 17 seats, a 17-seat license is an ideal customer. And this is a customer with 18 licenses. So, you know, they requested this feature, but I don't think they're an ideal customer. And then, like, it's an easy way to just not pay attention, not listen, right? Instead of asking yourself, is it really that different as somebody that has 16 users on our platform versus 17 or 18? Like, are we just going nuts here? Is this just dumb? Or is there really a difference between those two customers? And should we really ignore a customer just because they're a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller than whatever we in one session sat down and wrote on a piece of paper is ideal? There is an application of this, and this is advice that I have given to companies, especially in the super early days, is that sometimes I'll give founders the advice to create a non-ideal customer profile. And this specifically goes to, in the very early days, there might be some customers that are harmful for you to go after. Like the classic example here is, you know, self-funded / bootstrapped startup, small, tiny team, you know, three people, having some traction, let's say in the professional, the SMB space, and then a big, large enterprise client comes around and waves a bit of money and says, hey, you know, we found you, your solution is really interesting. We'd like to buy whatever, 1,000 licenses of this, but don't worry, we're going to be a really uncomplicated customer for you. And now this startup that has no experience in enterprise sales, doesn't know how to deal with a customer of this size, has not built a product that fits, kind of goes, well, we didn't go after them. They came to us. So, of course, you know, the allure of all this money and this big shiny logo as a new customer made us go down this rabbit hole that oftentimes can derail a startup and sometimes even kill them. So I have advised startups in the early days to potentially ask themselves, what is the type of customer that we really want to turn down? Because we think we're going to do a terrible job servicing them, or they're going to do a terrible job being customers of ours, right? So that can be useful, but it's always funny to me when I see a company that writes down an ideal customer profile and then uses that in a very inflexible way to dismiss customer feedback, to not pay attention, to not listen, to not care for customers that don't fit that profile, versus use it for its original purpose, which is to clarify who do we want to double down on, who do we want to focus on more, maybe in our customer acquisition, our marketing, our positioning, or whatever else, our product development cycle. So this might just be one of so many other ideas that, you know, it needs to be used so thoughtfully, and it's easy to just read a blog post online, you know, call in an emergency meeting in your startup and write down a one pager, and then you think now that we have this thing, everything surely is going to just magically become better in our company. And as always, it's never as easy as that.
Love it. Yeah, I think that's so true.
Beautiful. All right. I think that's it for us for this episode. If you have struggles with identifying your ideal customer. If you have done this exercise and it worked out particularly well or poorly for you, we always love to hear from you. Just send us an email with your thoughts, questions, feedback to steli@close.io, hnshah@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you and hear more feedback and get more questions from you guys. And until next time, we'll hear you very soon.
Later.